Ah, yes, that era of cinema when post-apocalyptic scenes were presented in the aftermath of 9/11, depicting a deserted New York that would certainly not be replicated by any global pandemics in the foreseeable future. Well, that was a little heavy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, I Am Legend was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. I know we're a week late. There was a thing.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Everyone's okay. We're here now. That's what matters.
I hope you all had a nice festive spring season.
Yes.
Happy Passover and Easter, everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes.
There were two major spring religious holidays, and we took a break. It had nothing to do with any natural disasters occurring at the Rugged Angel Studios.
But wait, I'm glad you brought it up, though, because Sean mentioned before we started that his notes are from, like, his faxy segment is from, like, weeks ago, and I was also curious. Camila, when did you watch this? Did you watch it before?
Night before last.
Oh, okay, great. Me too. Okay, so we're all fresh. Okay.
Yeah, because when I texted you guys about the situation here, I was going to put in.
Oh, no,
the
I
movie.
Was.
I think that, like, all
that
three of us were like, oh, gotta watch this today. Yeah. And then you were like, my studio's flooded. We were like, great.
Yeah. Good news.
I mean, I'm so sorry, but awesome.
Having established that, I'm here with two people who were probably in one of the Fast and the Furious movies. You just don't remember. It's Camila Adams.
Totally. There
and Robin Hitchcock,
Academy Award nominee Vanessa Kirby.
Sure. Wait, when was she?
She's in the spinoff.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that counts.
Hobbs and Shaw. The last time we did one of these, it was Fate of the Furious. It got a 70. For comparison, when we did the original Fast and the Furious last year, we gave it a 70, the exact same score. Eight movies, no improvement. That seems.
That's the franchise.
They just kind of give you what they give you.
Yeah.
It gets more, not better.
Right. We have to keep escalating to hit the same level.
Yes.
It's like a drug. We have to give you more vroom vroom to get to the same high each time. So that bodes well for Fast X. That was then. Now, I Am Legend. This was very pure because it is. I saw it when it came out. I don't completely forget seeing it, and now I saw it again. This is just, this is the pure experience, right?
Yeah, it also a connection to Fast Forward, like more vroom vroom. Like you had another Fast Driving Furious.
Yes.
No,
yes.
More Fast and Furious Driving.
Yes.
In this one, and I think I saw this in the theater. I know I absolutely have seen it before.
I have not. This was new to me.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yes. Huh. Interesting.
I mean,
I was in law school when it came out.
Okay.
So, like, I was seeing the least movies that I saw for my entire life.
Well, then it's the two different questions. I remembered liking it fine.
Yeah.
And I still liked it fine. How about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much the same. I may have liked it a little bit more this time, but there was, like, this glaring thing that I remembered happened. There was a point in the movie where I was like, I remember falling off. It was like, I was just like, okay, and that's why I never really revisited it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the same thing this time around. I was like, yep, this was why I remember just being okay with it.
I'm excited to hear more about this.
Yeah.
We'll save it for later.
Yeah. Will Smith and Dog, good movie. Will Smith and Humans, not as great.
Yeah, pretty much.
But coming to it fresh, quick take.
I did not like it.
You did not like it?
Interesting,
did not
at
like
all.
It. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has serious problems that we'll get into. And it is just not for me.
Interesting.
And then furthermore, I feel really weird about this. I don't read.
I've never read this story.
I don't even know if I've ever seen The Omega Man. And I don't know how The Omega Man ends, but I know how the story ends because my sister and I were flying across country together. And she is the kind of person who normally passes out like before takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have trouble sleeping on planes, or I used to have trouble sleeping on planes before I had to do that constantly. I was always like kind of annoyed when we would fly across country together and I'd be like, I have no one to talk to for 6 hours, right? And this one time she like turned to me and she had just finished a book and she was like, can I talk to you about the book I just read? And I was like, yes. And she told me the plot of the book, and it's horrifying. And my sister was like so bone chilled by this story that it really stuck with me, even though I never read it. Why wouldn't you follow that plot for this movie?
So
we'll have to get into it, because one of the big, I think it's in Faxi, but one of the big talking points about this movie is the fact that the theatrical release, there are two endings, and the theatrical release went out with the bad one.
Okay. Mm. Is the other ending the book ending?
Or I don't
story
know.
Ending? All right, let's do the recap, and let's then I'll tell you what happens in the book.
Yeah, good plan. Is it my recap?
It's not mine.
Not mine.
Oh boy. Let's see how I do. Which Emma's at the beginning of the movie? Thompson?
What?
Who? Yeah, Emma Thompson. Yeah.
All of the Emmas have generic names. Emma Thompson, Emma Roberts, Emma Watson, Emma Stone.
Emma Smith.
And so while as humans they're easy to distinguish, I can't remember which generic name they have. All right, tell me when.
Go.
Emma Thompson thinks she's cured cancer, accidentally kills 90% of the world's population, and 90% of who's left becomes like vampire mutants. They're not zombies. They can't go out at day. They're very violent, but we'll get into it more. Will Smith is one of the few immune people. He stays in New York after it is evacuated. His wife and child die tragically during the evacuation. He's staying there because he's a soldier scientist who thinks that he knows how to cure it and is going to stick at ground zero to keep working. Bad plan, but okay. He spends his days doing quarantine activities and trying to capture the mutants to test potential vaccines. He's doing okay, but not really making progress when the mutants start fighting back, but he doesn't really notice. Whatever, they kill his dog. He freaks out. Some other humans show up when he goes on his little revenge killing spree. They pull him in. They say there's a survivor's colony in Vermont. He's like, no, there isn't. Somewhere around here, all at the same time, they have that argument. The mutants launch an attack, and he realizes that one of his test subjects might actually be cured. He blows himself and the attacking mutants up to save the blood that has the vaccine in it. The other survivors go to Vermont, and they're gonna have a future, maybe.
That was more like 90 seconds, but great.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Because honestly, I needed some reminders of how the middle part of this movie goes.
The middle part is, and this gets into the ending, the middle part is after he kidnaps the one that he cures, her spouse, partner, whatever, starts working to get her back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which he kind of half acknowledges but misses the point of. And this leads to they capture him, but he wakes up just in time to get his dog but not himself killed. Then he goes to like shoot a bunch of them because he's angry.
Yeah.
But somehow that leads to him being nearly killed. But then the other, then what's her name and the kid save him. Yeah. It gets muddy in the middle. Yes.
Okay.
Who's in this movie?
I don't know.
Who Alice shows Braga?
Up? Not
is
Ana,
that her?
Not
it's
Ana
Alice,
de Armas.
Yeah, it's Alice Braga who she was one of, you know, I have that Twitter thread. Vanity Fair does their Hollywood issue.
Yeah.
I pick the Gretchen Mol of the year. Mm-hmm. She is a past Gretchen Mol.
Ah, I see.
Yes.
So the ending that's here is he realizes he has a cure. The mutants are attacking. He sets off a grenade that he has with him for some reason.
I mean, if you were living his life and you found a grenade, I think you'd hang on to it.
Killing the mutants, attacking, and himself. But there was room in that thing. This is the Titanic thing, but real.
Yeah.
He could have.
But I think the point was that they were after him.
Yeah.
Right.
And had he gone in there, they were just going to keep on. Yeah. Because I thought that too.
Yeah.
I thought it was a tunnel for them to go out of. But
that's like a coal chute.
Yeah.
What's her name and the kid get to Vermont, presumably with the information needed to have a vaccine.
Right.
The ending that they didn't go with is he realizes they're not trying to kill him. They're trying to rescue his test subject.
Mm-hmm.
And he just returns the test subject to them, and then they go away.
See, that's what I thought. Like, I must have seen both endings, because the first time, that's what I remember him giving her back. And then this time that I watched it on DVD, I was like, but I thought that he figured out that this was, he was there for his boo thing.
Yeah.
I kind of remember like all this whole Vermont business and all that stuff. So
no, I guess in the original, he leaves with them and is like, oh, I know how to do the cure now.
Yeah.
So in the book,
Wait, before you get there, because I'm like so confused about this based on the book situation, because there's like a book called The Last Man on Earth. Vincent Price started a movie called The Last Man on Earth. There's the Omega Man book, apparently, and then the movie Omega Man. And so is Omega Man based, is a loose adaptation of The Last Man on Earth, and then this
but
is
also
loose,
I Am Legend.
Yeah, yes. And then I Am Legend is a loose adaptation of Omega Man, because I know that The Last Man on Earth kind of follows this. I Am Legend follows Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price a lot more than I have never seen.
In
Omega
my
Man.
Brain, Omega Man was based on I Am Legend. I don't know. I clearly know nothing.
I know nothing.
I'm going to put a little Hogan
there's a
in
book,
there.
The Omega Man?
What?
I thought you said your sister read the book and she
went to Omega Man. She read the book, I Am Legend.
Okay, so yes, there's a 1954 I Am Legend book.
Okay.
At which The Last Man on Earth is based.
Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price, Omega Man with Charlton Heston, and I Am Legend with Will Smith are all based on the book
I Am Legend
by Richard Matheson.
Yes.
Okay, now my next question is, do we know if either Omega Man or Last Man on Earth have the book ending, which is he is captured by the vampires. Can we just call them vampires?
Yes.
They're vampires. Mm-hmm. And they're going to execute him because the reason he is legend is because he is the boogeyman to them because he keeps killing them. Mm. They are just living their lives. They have to, you know, vampire it up,
right.
But they are a humane, intelligent society.
Right, right, right.
And that's really upsetting, right?
Yeah. I mean, fundamentally, the alternate ending to I Am Legend alludes to that without being such a downer.
Or
maybe. I don't know.
Like, I saw Last Man on Earth.
I've seen it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember how it ends. Very much.
I'm guessing really. None of them managed the ending except for The Simpsons.
You're mutants?
We don't like the word mutants, Homer. We prefer freaks or monsters.
We're creating a new perfect society in which the mistakes of the past will be eliminated.
You know, you must die.
Yeah.
No, but like, there's like, when I used to produce the Pittsburgh 48-Hour Film Project ages ago, in one of the horror, some team had submitted a film like that as to where like we were watching like this family be killed or like terrorized by some outside force and whatnot and this was like, you know, if you don't know, short films, the 4 to 7 minutes long. So this was a lot to like put through into a film. And so as we're watching this, like this family is just doing their thing and then they're being terrorized by something. And then it flips the script. And then we see that family is actually zombies.
Shit.
Right. Yeah.
That's great though.
Right.
That's
great. Yeah. Yes. And that is like one of the like thousands of 48-hour films that have stuck with me.
Right.
For like,
I love that for you. Right. And for those filmmakers.
Right. Yes. I don't remember who you are, but you know.
Yeah. Your work has impacted Camila years later.
Yes.
Briefly skimming the Wikipedias. No, I don't think any of them have the book ending.
Except for The Simpsons, which is hilarious to me. It just makes so much sense. I will say that. Honestly, this being a Bush era movie makes it even more icky to me that they were like, no, they're bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it seems like a really good opportunity to be like, let's explore how a demonized group of people might just be people.
Right. Yeah. And that was like one of the things, like, that's one of the things I don't like about it is that we don't explore more. It's like, they are full on organized. Like,
yes.
They've set on a full ass trap. And like, so we don't want to talk about this some more.
Have either of you ever seen Land of the Dead? I assume you have.
Yeah,
it's like
it was in theaters.
A later Romero movie.
Yeah.
And it is, I love it. It's one of my favorites. It's not like good, but I love it. And it's the one where the zombies start to get smart, right? And they're like barely smart, you know what I mean? And that sort of seems like what they're going for.
They're like really smart dogs.
Yes.
You know?
Right. That sort of seems like the vibe that they have here. I think Colin made that comparison, so I'm stealing his observation. But still,
I think
that's
more
not
than
enough.
That.
I mean, I guess.
But so, like, I mean, they have been watching him, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, they, or somehow, they've been tracking him, and they go and find Fred.
Yeah.
And bring Fred to this spot and hook
up a
whole
entire... What are you doing here, Fred?
Right.
I do love that.
Hook up a whole entire net system with, like, the car and the pulley and...
Yeah, okay.
And then, like, he comes out with both dogs, and he waits. Until the dark hits.
I feel like I wanted... I just wanted more. And I feel like it's so goofy. I feel so silly being like, I don't like this movie because it doesn't have a book ending for a book I've never read.
Nevertheless.
But I do feel that way. That's just the way I feel.
I'm now kind of interested to read the book because I like that ending. That makes it not just another post-apocalyptic zombie type.
Well, I remember reading in articles like 6 original endings that completely changed the meaning of the movie. Oh, yeah. Like, I remember this always being in there because I guess the ending we have is neater for a 100-minute action movie, but they seeded the other one. So, like, everything about, like, a test subject's man coming out and getting a little burned so he could yell at and setting the trap and everything about what happens. Basically every scene that we see a vampire in sets up the alternate ending and is just completely ignored by the ending we did get.
Yeah. Right. It's like they got to a point, it's like, well, we took this as far as we can go. Let's just wrap this puppy up.
Well, also, I just want to be, let's go ahead. We'll do Faxi and then wait real quick.
Yes.
I do want to be clear. I'll save the details for after Faxi, but it's not just that I don't like the ending. I have issues with this movie as a standalone thing.
Okay.
So we'll get there.
We'll hear those in a moment. I push to it because the last fact gets into this more. But first, I Am Legend was released December 14th, 2007. The 39th and penultimate number one movie of 2007. That's a lot of number one movies.
Yeah.
This was in the depths of the 1 week winner era. And as a result, we've hit this year many times. TMNT, Rob Zombie's Halloween, American Gangster, and Enchanted. This is our fifth 2007. I Am Legend won its opening weekend with $77.2 million. At the time, that broke the record held by Lord of the Rings Return of the King for the highest weekend debut in December.
Interesting.
So this was a big hit. Easily beat fellow debut Alvin and the Chipmunks in second place.
It doesn't say Christmas like
with
post-apocalyptic zombies.
And Chipmunks. No, they have the Christmas song. That's
yeah.
Alvin made $44 million. Still only a 1 week number one movie. Lost the top spot in its sophomore weekend to National Treasure Book of Secrets, which was the final number one movie of the year. 6 weeks in the top 10, $256.3 million is the sixth top grossing film of 2007.
Wow.
And the best result for a standalone movie, the top five were Spider-Man 3, Shrek the Third, the first Transformers, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, and Harry Potter and Order of the Phoenix. So if you can count this based on a book and two previous movies as original IP.
Sure.
Did pretty well.
Not in, franchise.
Yeah. Loosely based on the 1954 novel, as we've been discussing. One of two adaptations on our list, The Omega Man, 1971, is also a number one movie in America. Mm. The Last Man on Earth, that's 1964. It is not the reigning champ around that time was the Pink Panther. So the two endings we talked about, we'll get back to it. This nearly got made as early as 1997. The original version had Ridley Scott directing and Arnold Schwarzenegger starring.
No. I was like, Ridley Scott? It's like that kombucha meme.
Yeah. The budget got too high. The studio got cold feet and it got kicked around forever. Will Smith did win Best Male Performance at the 2008 MTV Movie Awards over Michael Cera in Juno.
Did he hit anyone?
No, not that day. Matt Damon in Bourne Ultimatum, Shia LaBeouf in Transformers, and Denzel Washington in American Gangster. Okay. Does that sound right, MTV? Even by MTV standards.
Yeah. Incorrect.
Yeah. So this is the point. Sequels in development right now.
What?
For this?
Yes.
No. What?
With Will Smith set to return and both co-produce and co-star with Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
He blew up.
And the way that happens is with the sequel, they're saying the alternate ending is canon. So they blew the ending. Everybody knew it. And then they're like, let's go back and pretend that not only the one that made $250 million in theater, but the normal one you see if you... I played it on...
Homebox.
Yeah, I played it on HBO. It went to the original ending. So they're saying that one doesn't count. Actually, this one that you only found on a DVD menu was the real ending of the movie.
That's... I mean, horror movies do that, right?
Yeah, but only Halloween. But only
Halloween,
but
sure,
only
right?
When you're real. I mean, I can't think of a time when that's happened without the timeline having already been fucked. Like,
yeah,
in terms of there was one movie, we're doing a direct sequel, and actually the ending you saw didn't count. No, I can't name another.
Yeah,
it sounds like Will Smith is just being very selfish. And, yeah. Like, if you want to produce it, great. You mm-hmm. don't have to be in it, bro. Like, let yes. Michael B. do it, and we will go watch it. You will have my hard-earned U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. If Michael B. Jordan did it, and it was just, like, a new adaptation yeah. that Will Smith is producing,
yeah,
I agree. I could get yeah. on board.
Right. Yep. But this
is nonsense, and I don't think it's going to happen. And I mean, touch wood. Like, I don't want that to happen.
Well, I want
better for Michael B. Jordan, right. among other things.
They greenlit it pre-slap, so yep. who knows?
Not happening.
Yeah. So why else don't you like it, Robin?
Okay, so like you said, this is 100 minutes long, which plus column for the most part, yeah. but it feels stretched, really? Which is, yeah. How many flashbacks does it take to see his wife and daughter get blown up?
Well, I kind of like the how they did the flashbacks, because I had forgotten, like, if there's wife, like, what actually happened to the wife and daughter. And for me, it kind of helps to establish, like, where he is, like, really, in his mindset. Like, is he doing this because he hopes to reconnect with mm-hmm. his wife and daughter and find them again somewhere? Or, you know, why is he staying there? Why isn't he looking for them? It's like, oh, I'm fucking dead. That's why. So, for me,
I just assumed they were dead. And so I was like, get to it. Get to it.
But it's also like, remember lockdown? Remember quarantine?
You know, and I
really
also,
changes this movie, doesn't it?
I have to
it?
Say, until you said it in the cold open, I made no connection to lockdown and watching really? This movie, which, like, I think was my brain protecting itself.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that would have been weird. One thing I did think about, do they state how deep into the pandemic this is, like,
3 years?
I do not think New York would get that green in 3 years.
I was wondering that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that
was
doesn't, like, I mean, I want to talk to a botanist about it, but I'm like,
I was also curious as to how, I wanted to, what I also want to know more, how he went about this fortifying of the house.
Yeah.
Like, was this before?
He's a soldier, scientist, mechanical engineer. He built everything himself.
Yeah, but like, that's the thing. But who's loading those fucking, like, where'd he get
no,
those doors?
It looks like, like Ethan Hawke's Purge house. And it's like, how did you manage?
Okay, right. But Ethan Hawke can drive to Home Depot.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
This guy sure can't.
Yeah.
Right, like how, sir, physically, did you get those big steel doors into your home and install them?
Got a lot of canned goods that are holding up surprisingly well.
I will say, I kind of assumed that he stole a rich person's house that already had some panic room type reinforcements in it. That was what was happening in my brain, but I do, like...
Oh, wait, the daughter's room.
Oh, never mind.
No.
Maybe he was super paranoid because of his military nonsense, and he mm-hmm. was like an you know, right. Bush era,
yeah.
right? Maybe he was a doomsday prepper.
Which, you know, I will totally buy that.
Yeah.
I just wish they would have said something, because it was very distracting to me. I was like, he has so much food and so much.
Yes.
I think the first half of this movie is very, very well structured. Mm. I think starting with the cold open of the, you know, of Emma Thompson.
The beginning of this movie is... like note perfect,
right?
Just like the way that she is just so proud and hopeful, mm-hmm. and you know how wrong it's gonna go. Mm-hmm. Like, what a great scene!
Mm-hmm. Cured cancer,
yes.
little catch.
That is a really good opening to a movie, and I will say also, I in the beginning there were really scary scenes. Like mm-hmm. I was like genuinely scared in a good way, mm-hmm. not in a get me out of this room way. Mm-hmm. Even with the CGI being dated.
Oh, this is the absolute bottom of, this is the nadir of special effects in the history of cinema.
I mean, because they thought they could do too much. It's like, that,
right.
They had that stopped, thing where you're dumb, but you think you're smart. What's
yeah. Like they, had, curve? This is the point where they had basically stopped doing practical effects and CGI looked like garbage.
Yeah.
So there's nothing real around. And what you do have is, oh man, they look bad.
They would have been better off like keeping a lot of it in the dark.
I mean,
like the scene where he's, finds where Fred runs off into the dark.
So scary.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So scary. Mm-hmm. And in a good way. And I was on board with this movie then. And then it just started losing me because it's drawn out.
Not Fred, Sam.
Sam is the dog. Fred is the mannequin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But I love all those scenes. I love him hunting. I love him going to the video store. I love his like daily routine. I like that a lot.
I love a routine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think beyond the flashbacks being drawn out, I don't like, and maybe this is because of COVID stuff that I wasn't quite identifying, the panicking end of the world scenes are really upsetting to me in a way that man on isolated planet going through his life, I am way more like, well, this is interesting. Do you know what I mean? And I understand why they would want us to see both, like understand this character and his trauma. Mm-hmm. But I think I would have been way more on board if it was just like, watch this guy live his life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it would have worked without the flashbacks, or at least so many of them. Even though I like the way they did it, I think it still would have worked if we had just been like, you know, my wife and daughter.
Yeah. I will say my favorite thing about the flashbacks is Willow Smith being just the cutest kid in the world.
Oh, was that Willow Smith? Yeah. I didn't even know. That's nice.
I've also like been there, like where she's in the back and they're trying to like listen and like there's serious shit going on. She's like, look at the butterfly. And they're just like, enough.
I actually love a world is breaking down scene. When I read
doesn't surprise me.
When I read The Stand, I was like, this book is 1400 pages long. We're on page 150 and the world's already over. I wanted 600 pages.
Well, have you seen the miniseries?
No, but I have it at home. Okay, should I?
Yes.
I keep trying to watch that because Alexander Skarsgård.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What? Was he like 10?
Oh, no, not the original one, the remake.
I didn't realize they did a remake.
Yeah, okay. Another one came out.
Yeah, I watched the original one when I was a kid, and I was so fucked up by it.
Here's my problem with the flashbacks. This is the classic example of killing a dog is worse than killing the kid, because I've seen the flashbacks, and then I see Sam get bitten and turn, and he has to kill Sam, and I am so much more upset about the dog.
Yo, like I knew it was coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember.
I remembered that. That was the main thing I remembered from this movie. And we go through it and I'm crying. And then, but what really pushed me over the edge is his reactions, him after when he goes to the video. Yeah. When he goes to the video store and he's like, I promised my friend I would talk to you today. And he's like, please say hello to me. And he's like breaking and well in tears. I'm like, I'm done.
He goes a little crazy perfectly. Like, you can't have him go all the way because then the movie's over. But him just like losing it around the edges is really good.
Yeah.
But
no, you're right.
If you have this business with the dog that's that heartbreaking, you don't need to kill the wife. Or you can just say, oh, yeah, they're dead too. Like, it adds nothing.
Right.
You are right.
Yeah.
And I don't like dogs. And I wanted to cry when he had to kill his dog.
So sad.
It was awful.
And you're totally right that when he goes and talks to the mannequin, it's like, no.
And what makes it matters even worse is that it was totally avoidable.
Yeah.
This whole situation. He didn't have to lose it on Fred. Yeah. But like, I understand. Yeah. This is not right.
If it's day 1000, you would freak out. Right. If suddenly the mannequins are moving, it's
absolutely.
Like, is this the world or me?
What? Yeah. But I just think that but also day 1000, like he should, I don't know. Like it feels like I guess it was just all thrown off kilter, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Mannequin's not where it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be the only one here. Things are weird.
Guys, this is weird. No.
How long do you think, both of you, that you would mentally survive in that situation?
Oh, 9 minutes. Have you ever seen The Road? I'm going to Charlize right on out.
I hate to... I'd be fine. I wouldn't be cheery. I wouldn't be like, I'm living my best life right now.
Right.
But like... If you give me security, a food source, and DVDs, I'm like, we can get a routine going. We can, it'll be fine.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, it'd be sad, sure.
Yeah,
as I'd be the last person there. But I'm thinking, but he just gets to go through one DVD at a time through the entire video store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that part's fun. and he has a project, and he has a project that might help eventually. Right. It's like, yeah, I think I'd be all right. He can drive around all. I will say, don't you have enough risks? Drive sensibly. What the fuck are you in a hurry for? Nothing's going anywhere.
No, it's fine. You're not. Blockbuster's not going to close.
No.
It's okay.
No.
I mean, I'm honestly surprised there was still a video store in 2007 in New York. But when we sat down, I was like, I didn't write any notes, but I did write three weird notes.
Okay.
One is which Emma Thompson in the beginning says that her disease is like, it's like her, not her disease, her treatment for cancer is like having the virus driven by a cop.
Yeah.
And Colin was like, accidental ACAB. Good, like accidentally good analogy. And I was like, that's very funny. And then the other thing I wrote down, which I truly had a moment of, what? Why did I write this down? And then I remembered Fred was, nothing's going to stop us now. Because of the mannequin song. And then also it says, I was more surprised to see Shrek pop up in this than Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, which I forgot was a Shrek spinoff. When was Shrek in this?
Shrek, the kid's watching Shrek, and yeah. Will Smith says the lines for a shockingly long period.
Very yes, long time. Yes, very uncomfortable.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
It's like, I thought that was like the descent into madness. Like, oh, we thought the mannequin thing was bad. No, this is his real descent yes. into madness. Yeah, so that's where the point where they show up is when it gets, for me, yeah. where it falls kind of flat yeah. is the woman and the kid.
Right. I mean, honestly, part of it is that I just don't think they're very interesting characters.
No. The Bob Marley conversation was okay. Him giving the "Where is your God" speech was okay.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, it's better without them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, to be quite honest, with as much as she offered for both of those scenes, like, he could have been saying that shit to one of the taped
yeah.
mm-hmm. news shows that he was mm-hmm. watching.
Yep.
Did you catch the stuff about the predictions, the accidental predictions this movie made?
I don't think so.
There's the Batman Superman billboard. That I don't think that counts as accidental. Was it the guy who wrote this movie like working on a script?
Maybe.
Okay.
It was a long way away from being greenlit.
Okay.
Like, that was the big deal at the time, was that there's a Batman Super, and all the nerds went, can you imagine if there was a movie with both Batman and Superman? Bad news, guys.
Sorry.
We tried it. It didn't really work. The one, and I remember because there was like an 8-month period where I tried to get a movie blog going around the time this movie came out. And one thing that did a shocking amount of traffic was there was an accidental but shockingly accurate Super Bowl prediction.
Oh.
In the Emma Thompson thing. Because somewhere in that crawl, which is all like reasonable fictional near future things.
Right.
It says something like, the Patriots defeated the Giants for the second time this year by a score of ba-ba-ba-ta-ba-ba-ba. Now that's clearly just some things somebody made up.
Yeah. Right.
Here's the thing. Patriots and Giants are in two different conferences. Mm-hmm. So the only time they would ever play twice in the same year is once in the regular season and once in the Super Bowl. And then the Patriots and Giants went to the Super Bowl that year.
Oh, wow.
So the score was wrong.
But the Giants won.
But yeah, the prediction was...
That's the good Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. The clubs were correct. But
the only Super Bowl I remember the game, because yeah. it was a really good game.
It was very exciting. Yeah. I liked it a lot for a while, and then progressively less for the next 40 minutes. Oh, the trailer. Boop.
I'm not infected. I'm not infected. Please.
Nothing happened the way it was supposed to happen. 6 billion people on Earth when the infection hit. I'm a survivor living in New York City. Now just sleep. Eat your vegetables. Don't just push them around. Eat them. I'm not playing.
Morning, Hank.
Yeah, midway through the G's. Didn't do this. We did.
This trailer, I think when we originally started doing the trailer segment, it was like, is the trailer better than the movie or not? Yeah. We like mm-hmm. wanted a definitive question.
And now we're just like picking
and
them
now
apart.
We're just like, let's just talk about it, which frankly, I think is right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this trailer is better than this movie.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. When I watched this trailer, I was like, oh, if I had been seeing more movies then, if I were less afraid of scary movies then, I might have wanted to go see this.
Huh.
That was my take on the trailer.
Like, it's not a bad trailer. No, I just kind of feel
like a great trailer.
No, but yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it's bad. I watched the trailer after I watched the movie. Maybe I should have done it backwards, but
I always do it that way.
I don't really remember the promos for this when it came out or anything like that, but I feel like for the sense of this movie, like the trailer should have been, there should have been a lot more feeling of loneliness, of like alone.
Yeah, and it should have been more,
a little more solid,
like
a little more
the Oblivion
silent.
Trailer.
Yeah. Like a lot more silence.
Okay.
Just, you know, and just like, just really give you the feeling of this is alone. And then we kick into like when he's in the dark.
Right.
And then we move on to all the running and all that business. But
I wouldn't have showed the monsters.
Yeah.
Partially because they look bad and partially to maintain some mystery.
Yeah. Okay, good point.
And the key shot, the ending shot of the trailer, which is also in every spot, is also from that alternate ending. Where there's one right by his face going rar.
Yeah.
That's the from the alternate ending.
The alien bit.
Does not appear in the film you watch. And my letterbox list is movie titles ruined by contractions. I'm Legend. I'm Sam. To have and haven't. There'll be blood. Yeah.
Good list.
Yeah.
Good idea. Good one.
I don't know. 65 feels like about 65.
Wow. I'm gonna go 87 because it made.
Wow. Holy shit!
I cried real tears.
I mean, like, you almost cried here, which was like I was gonna grab the table.
Seriously, and that's saying a lot for a Will Smith joint. Like, you know, he's good, but
this is a 44 for me. I was sort of wavering in the low 40s. You guys talked me up a little bit.
Wow.
Just not for me.
Talked up to 40.
44. To 44.
We're all over the place and land on my score. 65 and a third. I was right, everybody. Sure, that sounds fine. Yeah. Sequel? Don't.
Please, no.
Let's see. We'll see. We got a new bingo card.
Yay!
Mentions a year we've lived through as the future. This takes place in the then future of, I think, 2010, mostly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not up enough on Buffy or Law and Order to answer those. We've got new squares that say Buffy connection or guest star on a Law and Order.
I'm going to say it's about vampires.
I mean actor-wise.
Okay,
or,
good. I didn't want that square to get eliminated.
No, yeah.
As soon as you put this in front of me, I went, ooh, Buffy connection. And then I went,
No.
So I'm glad that you are.
I am firm on that.
Great, thank you.
Because we've had a couple movies where I've been like, oh, they were on Buffy. And it's like,
oh, it happens all the time.
Right.
Yeah. And
it won't happen again because I put it on the score.
The Law and Order one, I mean,
I'm sure you could do it with every movie ever made.
I think you could do it with every movie.
You could do it with every play ever staged. Yeah. Look through the playbill and it's like, and Law and Order SVU.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I will say, I think that we should limit this to one of us remembers them on Law and Order.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going for it because I'm not doing any deep dive investigations.
Like, I'll bet you $10 right now that Alice Braga is in an episode of Law and Order.
Right, exactly.
Right?
No, that's
that
what
I'm.
Right, yeah, that's, I'm more like one of us calls it out, like, because I'm not going to like go and investigate each person
not.
On these things.
Great.
And also on that other square, it's not this one, but title longer than four words.
On a clear day, you can see forever.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
How about electricity goes out? Really, really all over the world.
No, I mean more like on screen
and a plot moment.
Yeah,
kid throws a tantrum.
She seems pretty happy,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
all right.
She's annoying, but annoying and tantrum are different things.
Yeah.
All right, and we will just cross off mentions a year we lived through as the future,
and also don't forget your Tony Goldwyn freeze
and your Tony Goldwyn space. Speaking of bingo cards. Oh my God, it's time for a movie draft,
Woo!
Everybody.
Yay!
So, couple of things. One, Elon Musk, who is bad at everything, ruined...
No, apparently they're still working.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing.
Don't edit me out making clear
in
as many formats as possible that Elon Musk is bad at everything.
Oh, he's terrible. And it is entirely possible by time this movie drops next week, Twitter polls won't work.
Yeah.
So, what you want to do is go to our Twitter to be told how and where to vote.
Yeah.
It will basically either be our Twitter account, which is
number one movie pod.
One is a numeral.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
so, still sorry about that.
So go to our Twitter and either vote in that poll that will drop the day the episode drops.
24th.
Which is also New Kids on the Block Day.
Okay. So on New Kids on the Block Day, or possibly the day after, depending on how my weekend goes and Sean's weekend goes, on our Twitter page, we'll drop the episode and then we'll drop this poll, or we will tell you where the poll is held, probably my Instagram. That's the instructions.
Yes.
Now, as a reminder for how movie draft works, Sean and I both won a bingo simultaneously. And so each of us has prepared a list of four films drawn from our list of 2000-ish number one movies in America. We are going to present them one at a time. Whoever is not offering their movie will have the chance to veto that selection, but they only get two vetoes out of the four. And they don't know what the rest of the list is as they veto.
So there's
a little risk there.
Yeah.
Now, if more than two movies apiece make it through, if we don't play all our vetoes, Camila gets to pick the final four for the poll.
Right.
And then y'all get to decide the movie that we watch.
Yes. All right. First, give me your philosophy on making making your list this time.
Okay, so I have never lost a movie draft.
No, you haven't. And I've never won a movie draft.
And so I did allow that to make me pick some weirder movies. But then there's one movie on there that, like, or two movies on there that, like, I really do want to pick that could win. So I didn't totally succeed in that fashion. But I'm going to start with one of the weirdo movies that I picked, which is Airport. Airport.
That's the sequels all had a year on this on them.
Yes.
But this one is just Airport.
Yes. Airport. The 1970 Best Picture nominee Airport.
The nominal thing that's being parodied in Airplane.
Correct.
Uh-huh. No, I would like to see that. And I've almost put it on several times since you told everyone you loved it. So
yeah. I just want there to be more people under the age of 50 than me and Colin who have seen it.
Okay. maybe I'll watch it anyway. But I'm not going to veto that.
Thank you.
I have never won a movie draft. So rather than go weirdo, I thought
mainstream.
Nothing but hits. I'm picking nothing but not only popular things that people are shocked that I haven't seen. That's the other running gag. I get a lot of, how have you not seen blank? And we'll start with one of the two entries in the Marvel Cinematic Universe I have not seen.
What?
Captain America, the First Avenger.
Which you've put up for a previous movie draft. Mm-hmm. I also challenged myself to avoid doing that, but I'm not going to veto it. I love that movie.
I heard it's great. Yep. It sounds like Camila's not letting it through to the final four. So, your pick.
I'm going to go to one of my normie picks, which was my fifth choice last time when Camila and I did this, in case one of the movies was not available. And it is William Shakespeare's Romeo plus Juliet.
Wait, that's
Claire and Leo.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not going to veto it. If I vetoed it, it would only be because I watched it fairly recently and it's like, well, I don't need, I get it. But I feel like that's a fascinating subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't say no. And Jamie Kennedy as a wacky Shakespearean side character. It's always fine with me. My second pick, Splash. Never seen Splash.
Huh.
I've heard it's good.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid. I'm not going to veto it.
All right.
I don't think it's good. Ron Howard directed it.
Might have gone with... There are a couple others that I kicked off the list. Maybe I should have kept... I think I put that on there instead of The Money Pit because I felt it was more popular than The Money Pit.
Mm-hmm. I really like The Money Pit.
Me too. Mm. Anyway, not vetoing.
Mm, okay.
I'm going to go with my other normie pick. This is a gift to my dear husband, Colin. It is one of his favorite movies of all time. Happy Death Day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not gonna veto it. We're being too polite, I know. And now now the vetoes
we're
are
giving
free.
A lot of power to Camila, which I like.
but you know, I remember walking out of there going, I think that was pretty good, and never revisiting it. So I'd be curious to see if I, because it's kind of gained in stature, you know, popularly. It wasn't a big hit, but since then people have liked it more. First Blood. I have never seen a Rambo movie, let's take it from... Somebody emailed me about an unrelated conversation on the DV morning show that they were outraged because Val Porter had never seen First Blood, and I had to reply, neither have I.
Yeah, Val Porter doesn't need that. I will say, after you watch First Blood, you will still have never seen a Rambo movie. You will have seen a movie with a protagonist named John Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not vetoing it. It's a great movie.
And right in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
I thought that one would get through just fine. What's your fourth pick?
Postcards from the Edge.
Remind me what that is.
It is based on Carrie Fisher's memoir, directed by Mike Nichols, starring the great Meryl Streep and Shirley MacLaine. And it's a fucking great movie. And
I would be a jerk if I vetoed it.
I was just going to say, I was going to go into, like, it really speaks to me as a person with bipolar disorder. And then I was like, I can't. That would be my thumb on the scale. But yeah.
Also, it benefits me to leave it in because there's no way
no
that's
one's
winning.
Vote for that.
So if that's in there against my picks, my odds go up. Sure.
Oh,
keep
so
it.
Veto free movie draft? Oh, wait, you have one more.
My one more. A long time ago, we launched this podcast called You Can't Handle the Truth. And for years,
I'm not vetoing it. And
fact,
I hope it wins.
Hid the fact that I've never seen A Few Good Men. So that's my fourth pick. Correct a 8-year error and let me watch A Few. Could I do it on my own? Yes. But now it just feels like a bit.
No, I agree.
So those neither of us vetoed anything. So you pick four of these eight.
Yikes. All right. Well, Captain America's gone.
All right. I'm on my own if I ever want to.
Take your time. Big decision.
Okay. So do I will keep Romeo and Juliet. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep Happy Death Day.
Yeah, if she You're picks welcome, all, Colin. If she picks all 4 years, I swear to God.
I will keep A Few Good Men.
There we
Yay!
Go.
And I think this is what I'm going to vote for.
And this is tough.
It's Postcards from the Edge, Airport, First Blood, or Splash.
I'm going to say no to Airport.
That's fair.
No to Splash. I don't think I'm really interested in going back to that anytime soon.
I'm relieved. I almost vetoed it.
So you're down to First Blood or Postcards from the Edge.
I'm sorry, Robin. I'm very curious about this Rambo situation. First Blood.
I think that's a fair choice. No one was going to vote for Postcards from the Edge anyway.
So two each. Our next episode will be First Blood, A Few Good Men, Romeo plus Juliet, or Happy Death Day. What a completely disconnected film festival that would be. So go on, start at our Twitter, and yes, maybe go from there and find the poll and tell us what we're watching next. I'd be happy with any of these, but would really like to win one, so please.
Listen, I'm going to put a Few Good Men bumper sticker on my car. I think we got to make this happen.
It seems like it's time. So, You Can't Handle the Truth is the name of our other stuff we're watching segment.
And also, it's been almost a month since we last recorded, so...
And yet I did the whole Crucible with Vigilance Theater Group in the meantime, so I've barely seen anything. I'll say Skinamarink is fucking bullshit.
if anyone was going to like that, it was you.
No, here's the thing. I want one person to tell me I loved this movie and I was not high. I fully believe that if you're high as fuck, then this hour 40 of shots of creepy doorways, occasionally with someone mumbling something, might freak you out. Yeah. But just watching it with a sober mind, my Letterboxd reviews is 2 pounds of spooks shoved in a 10-pound sack. There's just not nearly a feature film here. We just sat in a room watching door jams. I feel bad, you know, because it's a labor of love. It was made for $15,000. It's an unexpected hit. Good for you. Put a story in your next movie. And the Super Mario Brothers movie, this is rapidly becoming the, you know, see how irrelevant critics are because the audience scores are amazing and the critics' scores are mediocre at best. Yeah, this is good if you never watched another kids' movie. This is exactly the same as The Secret Life of Pets and a little worse than The Despicable Me's. It's just a straight down the middle, slapsticky, wacky kids movie that has a couple of laughs. Yes, there's a billion Nintendo Easter eggs. I appreciate that because I grew up with them.
I felt so weird. I'm like, I am not used to being the generation that is pandered to.
And I
just felt so incredibly pandered to, except for the part where there is only one woman. Or I guess his mom's in it, too. There are two women at all in the entire film, and like Daisy and Toadette are right there. Like there's Wendy Koopa. Like there's so many ways that they were just
where
like,
was
no,
Mayor
we,
Pauline people
wait we just need the one, right? That's dumb.
Yeah,
I
but
saw,
she's the ass kicker now.
I
and they made
care.
Luigi the peach.
I don't fucking care.
It was just mediocre. And like, if you're like, oh, I had a great time. One, you haven't seen Sonic. And I was a Mario kid and not a Sonic kid. And the Sonic movies are way better.
I can't believe how good the Sonic movies
are.
I haven't seen the second one, but I hear it's good.
And there's so many, you know, we talked about DC League of Super Pets, Mitchells versus the Machines. There are so many other movies like this that are creative or very funny or heartfelt. This is none of that.
I will say that like a big narrative right now of a small subset of film Twitter that has children. They're like, I just want to take my kids to the movies. And there hasn't been a kids movie since Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, which came out in October last year.
Great. Doesn't make it good.
I think that, and I'm not a parent, but I think that if you finally get to go to a quiet place with your children for 3 hours and, or, you know, it's only 90 minutes long, but you know what I mean. If you get to have this afternoon out with your family that you've been missing for 6 months, you're going to drink that sand. And I think that's completely valid. I also saw this with my best friend's 3-year-old. It was his first movie. So I can't be objective about it. It was the cutest thing in the world. He was sitting on the arm. We were at the one in Robinson, and he was like sitting on the armrest between me and his dad. Mm-hmm. And he just kept asking questions, which I was answering, like, is Donkey Kong a bad guy?
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you explain to a 3-year-old what an anti-hero is?
Oh, they know.
Yeah. I said no, but he and Mario have to fight. And that makes sense.
Kind of like you and mommy at bedtime, yes. I'm sure.
Anyway, it's obviously not good. I had a great time at the movies, and I don't resent anyone else for doing that, but I'm also not a film critic. So
sure you are.
Okay, I'm not a professional film critic. I guess on to me not being a film critic, I did get to go see Air with Sean, and they printed my name on my seat.
Oh, wow. Oh, I totally forgot about that.
you were invited to.
Yes. I totally forgot.
I think you had the fairly reasonable reaction of, what movie? That movie? I don't care.
Whereas I really like Nike shoes, and so I should have cared. That movie was just fine. Like, I have nothing really bad to say about it, but also couldn't urge anyone to see it.
In Letterboxd parlance, I gave it 3.5 stars, but didn't click like.
Yes.
It's like, no, you did a pretty good job, but I'm not going to be like, you know what I really liked? That shoe marketing film. Like, you know.
Yes.
Good enough. Jason Bateman was really good.
I don't like him.
Oh,
We've discussed this. Yeah. Also, when he's like, I'm 45, I like wanted to laugh out loud.
Viola Davis is actually really good.
Yes. Yeah. Well, when is she not?
Right. Chris Tucker, not good.
Aww. I just like seeing him so much. I don't care.
I know. I'm glad he's there. But like,
it's like, happy you're working, buddy.
He's way over the top and no one else is. And it feels like Ben Affleck didn't want to tell him, like, this isn't Rush Hour 4. Buddy.
No, the one scene where he's like 2 minutes late and then he comes in and they like kind of tease him, like, you're the only black guy who's going to come to this meeting. How dare you not be here when we show up? Like, I thought he was good in that scene.
I mean, no one needs to see Air. That's the conclusion. There.
The conclusion is no one needs to see Air. But if for some reason you have to watch a movie with your parents, that's a good one to pick.
Yeah.
Yes. Sure. I'll watch it when it shows up on Netflix or wherever.
It's an Amazon movie. This was Amazon's attempt to put something in theaters a month before they put it on Prime rather than the other way around.
Oh.
So they're trying it out with this.
Okay. Right. Well, I hope it works, kind
next
of.
Next month, I will see Air.
Yeah.
It's been long enough that we haven't really had a chance to talk about John Wick.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which you did not like.
I just fell asleep, and that's really weird because it's the loudest movie that's ever been made.
Yes.
I thought it was way too long, repetitive, you know.
It is both of those things, and I love it.
but the action sequences are great. You are much more in the Wick fandom.
Yes.
So.
I mean, my story with John Wick is that I watched it on the plane on my flight home when I moved back to the States. And on the drive home from the airport, I was like, please stop at a Redbox. We're renting John Wick so I can make you watch it. Like, I was just like, this movie is everything. and I think this is the best of the sequels.
I think this is the worst of the sequels.
All right. Interesting.
But I don't like the prem. But I don't like John Wick. I like John Wick 2 okay, and 3 a good bit. I didn't like John Wick 4.
I think that what this one did, that what made it better for me, is that in 2 and 3, they push it a little bit too far with the everyone on Earth is a secret assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 really goes back to just, we're only going to care about these actual characters in the film. And we're going to, for 90% of the movie, it's going to be about them, and they're going to have actual character and relationships. Like, I thought that Donnie Yen's character was like really interesting and fun. Bill Skarsgård was good. The costumes in that movie, holy shit, amazing costuming. And then they only have to bring on the like video game bad guys of the world of assassins for like the last couple sequences. The stair fight, come on.
Until he falls down the stairs and a packed opening night crowd I was with just laughed at it.
Because it is meant to be funny.
I don't think it is.
Oh, it sure is.
All right.
That is Keanu, if you're listening, let us know.
There's no way that is not intended as comedy.
Without spoilers, do you like that ending or don't you?
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fair reaction.
Yeah.
I like it because I wouldn't have expected it.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you know, I don't...
Honestly, I forgot when you first started asking. I was like, what was the ending? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a bad sign.
You know, they could have gone a lot of ways, and that was not the way that I would have expected them to go. So points for that. But, you know, I know we talk about it all the time, but, like, make less movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Mario is 90 minutes long. 2 days I'm going to go see Evil Dead, whichever one we're on, and it's like 94 minutes long. Some filmmakers are remembering that you can do things quickly. There's no reason for a movie that's fundamentally boom, boom, and suits to be 2 hours and 42 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's way too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Guardians 3 is 3 hours long. Ugh. Camila.
You know what? I don't think I've really watched anything new. I've been on this kick of like a lot of 90s movies, like back and like I watched Fallen with Denzel Washington.
I have never seen all of Fallen because it scared me too much. I had to turn it off when I was a kid. And like, it is so built up in my mind as like one of the scariest movies.
It is creepy as fuck. Yeah. So that's one of the things is like, you know, cause I wanted to like watch these with like my older eyes now.
Yes.
And like more life experience, that kind of thing. And I just watched Copycat last night with Sigourney Weaver.
I love that one.
Yeah. So good.
And, never seen it.
Really?
Oh, it's absolutely like if you just want like a 90s like potboiler. Like just pop
it's on
that
Hulu.
On. Yeah.
The Truman Show.
Ooh.
Which still great.
That movie is so fucking good.
That was on our mystery
wheel.
Movie
yep.
wheel.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I watched Tetris that was on Apple.
I didn't watch Tetris because of Air. I was kind of like, I just watched this movie. Like, Tetris and Air are weirdly like the volcano in Dante's Peak of heroic middle managers.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like, I basically the same sentiment as you guys are saying where Air is concerned. Like, I like, what is that little boy's name? Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just, I mean, it's fine. It's like, I feel like it was a lot to put into, like, really? Do we really need a whole movie about the making of Tetris? Okay, fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I know some people were like, you know, this was very interesting. I've not heard anything that's going to make me go back and make sure I catch up.
Right.
No, you're fine. It's just like literally don't. Like, I don't. I wasn't even like paying nothing ever caught me. I'm just like scrolling through most of the time.
Or spend 90 minutes playing Tetris.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Have you guys heard about this thing where if you go through a traumatic experience, you should play Tetris within the next 12 hours?
No.
Really?
It like prevents PTSD.
Really?
What?
Science here.
The thing where the falling blocks like fill your brain, like that takes over the wiring that would happen of your.
I don't have more science here.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been an interesting thing to put in the movie.
So put a little folder on your phone. Have that app that tells you if you walked by someone with COVID, have emergency resources and a Tetris. And that is your emergency.
Yeah, it's your emergency folder. Kit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did some cute things with graphics, like making like a lot of transitions that were like, video games.
Oh,
that's
fine.
You know, you can find that on YouTube, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to draw a movie.
Wait, I have one more.
Oh, you have one more.
I saw Bros.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I am like really of two minds about this movie because all of the rom-com parts, I was like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like the love interest guy, I correctly pinged him as a Christmas Hallmark movie person. Colin was like, well, I don't recognize him from anything. And I'm like, he's probably a Hallmark movie person. Yes, 100%. He's super charming and hot. But that movie, there are moments where it is very clear that, what's his name? Billy Eichner is like, this is the only chance I get. This is the one movie that I will ever get to make in my entire life.
Yeah.
And so I am going to put in all of my extraneous thoughts that otherwise will not appear in a movie. And it gets extremely Woody Allen-y. And I was like, no! I'm like, we're not doing this again! I'm sorry, gay men. You don't get to be Woody Allen. No one gets to be Woody Allen ever again. We're done with it!
I am not a fan of Billy Eichner.
Well, then don't watch this movie.
Yeah, no,
he is
no plans.
Him.
I loved Billy on the Street, but that is very much an acquired taste.
Yeah, it is. And I think also maybe the only thing I've ever seen him in are American Horror Stories. But he's always the same. And it's just.
Wait, is he? I've never seen any of those. Is he like the way he is in Billy on the Street and like his general persona? Like,
yeah.
He's like, interesting.
And just like yelling all the time.
Yes.
So it's very, it's like kind of a one-trick pony. Is that what he does in the movie? Like
he has moments where he's not yelling and like he shows some emotional vulnerability, sometimes in annoying Woody Allen-y ways.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah. I it's not a movie I particularly recommend, but I didn't dislike it.
I'm just reflecting on, hey, please support Vigilance Theater Group, but this is why it is, April 18th?
18th. Yeah.
I've seen 5 movies this month. That's it. 5. And one of them was Stephen King's Silver Bullet.
Oh, boy.
Because the next big Vigilance project might be about werewolves. So I was like, better start researching. Uh-huh. A lot of good character actors in that movie. Hey, let's not draw a movie. Once again, you tell us, will it be First Blood, A Few Good Men, William Shakespeare's Romeo plus Juliet, or Happy Death Day. No one is required to move on to Happy Death Day to you, but it is interesting.
I enjoyed it. Colin loved it also. And I was like, I'm with you. Because this, like I said, is one of Colin's favorite movies. He was like, I'm forcing you to watch Happy Death Day with me. And I was like, great, doing it. And then he's like, and now I'm forcing you to watch Happy Death Day to you. And that one I was like, fine. I think if I hadn't been forced to watch it, I might have enjoyed it more. It is super interesting, but not Anomia.
Oh, it looks like the third one's canceled. I can't believe that hasn't happened.
That sucks. It's a nice, fun little horror franchise.
Right.
Pointing update. No movement at all, sadly.
We did an episode about it. What was the Vince Vaughn one called?
Freaky.
Freaky. I was going to say it was called Friday, and I'm like, no. Different movie.
Both Happy Death Day and Freaky were half of a Blumhouse haunt at Halloween Horror Nights. Mm. And the Happy Death Day one was better. And they're doing another one this year, which is the complete tonal disagreement of Megan and Insidious.
No!
You're going to go through Megan and be like, this is a doll. And then just
have your soul ripped through your
nostrils. A black void with a demon in it. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Before we get to one of those four movies, what was the number one song in America when I Am Legend debuted on December 14th? 2007.
Rihanna.
No.
I mean, that's just the right thing to guess in that era.
Yeah.
All right. Adele?
No.
How about the Black Eyed Peas?
No.
Like, not Rihanna? Really?
Both December. Both singer and song are forgettable. I'm sorry. I apologize to
singer
this.
And song, so it's one singer.
How about Leona Lewis? Alicia Keys? You're calling Alicia Keys forgettable?
Yes.
Ouch.
Oh,
Daniel.
Are you calling No One?
No One is the song?
Yes.
Wow.
I have never disagreed with you more strongly. That song is a banger.
Is it up tempo or is it down tempo? Neither really. Does it have a chorus? Not to speak of. Does it have verses? It doesn't have those either. It kind of just noodles along for 4 minutes while you're shopping at Macy's.
False. Just so false.
False narrative. Extremely false. Seeing as this is the only woman that Daniel T. Friedson has put on his list. Dan's going to talk to you.